Well, it's good to be here this morning. It's always a blessing to be here. And up here is not one of my favorite spots, but praise the Lord. Just keep our pastor in prayer. And by the way, does anybody need a Bible? Anybody need a Bible? We'll get you a Bible. Right up here in the front. Okay, just one right here. Anybody else? That's it. Okay, if you have your Bibles, open up. We'll start in Job chapter 37. The book of Job, right in the center of your Bible. Chapter 37. I know we have a few people in the church today a little bit sore, including myself, from a paintball game yesterday. We had a good time. Praise the Lord. He held off the rain for us. None of us, we thought we were going to get rained on, but it was a good day. We played with just our own people, and it was a blessing. So, by the way, I got my watch right here, just to let you know, because the last time I preached, I got done about 11:45, and nobody knew if they were allowed to leave before 12 o'clock. So, yeah, that's, they get me up here early, okay? So, Job chapter 37 and verse 14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. One more time. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your wondrous works, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for your salvation, for your mercy, your grace, Lord, your long-suffering, Father. Just the privilege it is to be up here, Father, Lord. I'm not worthy, Father. I'm not sufficient for any of this, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would be the one to speak, Father. Your Holy Spirit would speak, Lord. And I pray you just open our eyes, Father. We could behold wondrous things, Lord, out of thy law. And I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I even pray you'd be a pastor even now, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue comforting him and healing his body, Father. Just bring him back to us safely, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 37, verse 14, it says, Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. In 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. But he starts that, Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? If we consider what the Lord says, we can have understanding in all things. And understanding is applying wisdom and knowledge. We can have knowledge, we can have wisdom, and have all this knowledge of the Bible, but I tell you what, if there's no understanding to put it into some application and practical use in our life, it does us nothing. I remember Pastor Dean, when he was here, he used to always mention, he says, if your doctrine is not changing your life, forget about it. What's the point in having all the knowledge if there's no understanding? So consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And I want to look at this word consider this morning. Consider. It's found 66 times in the Bible, by the way. Same number as the books in the Bible. But to consider means to think carefully about in order to make a decision. To regard with respect, thoughtfulness, honor, to esteem. Okay, that's the dictionary definition. But right here in Job chapter 37, verse 14, the biblical definition is, Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. In order to consider something, you need to hear, you need to hearken, and you need to be able to stand still. That's hard for a lot of us. It's hard for us to stand still. We get so busy, and we wonder sometimes why we don't hear from God. We're either 10 miles in front of Him or behind Him. But that's what I want to talk to you this morning, just about to consider, to think carefully about something. And usually when you consider something, there's a decision to be made, okay? Just this week, I was with Jim Scroy, that's my boss, and we went to look at a Suburban, okay, to buy for work. He's a collector, okay? But we got to the house and looked at it, and what we're doing is considering it. Is it good for work? How is the body? We open the hood? Great, it has a motor, okay? And everything we need, you have to consider these things in order, right, to make a decision. If you have to buy a car for your family, you have to consider, is it big enough? How's the gas mileage? What, this and that. So anyway, when we consider something, it usually ends in a decision, okay? And I want to talk to you about four things in the book of Deuteronomy we need to consider. Okay, consider is found four times in the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to look at four things we need to consider. And if we consider these things, it should help us to make wise decisions. Okay? It should help us to make wise decisions. You know, the Lord says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. It's great that He want to be involved in every single aspect of our life. Every single part. We leave Him out of so much. I leave Him out of so much, and I just come up empty. I come up making a mistake. But all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll just be the one to direct your path. Very simple. So, let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Four things throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Four things we need to consider. And each one of these points could be probably a message in itself. But we're going to go through the four points rather quickly, just briefly, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 4. By the way, the book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses to the children of Israel before they entered the promised land. Okay, you remember, I preached a couple weeks ago, whether you remember or not, in Numbers chapter 13, with the grapes, giants, and grasshoppers, I forgot to mention that after that, as a result of them not entering into the promised land, that began their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Okay, so this is a new generation right here. If you ask Eli, Eli's not here. He said they were wandering around because somebody dropped a quarter. But anyway, the Bible makes it clear that because of their... because of them not wanting to go into the promised land, now they start their traveling around for 40 years. 40 years. And now you have a new generation. You wanted that old generation to die off because of their unbelief. You have a new generation. All you have left from the old generation is Caleb and Joshua. Okay? So now Moses is writing the book of Deuteronomy. He's not allowed to enter the promised land either. And he's writing the book of Deuteronomy, kind of giving them instructions about the land. He goes over the second giving of the law. Okay, and he goes over all these things to this new generation. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll start on the first thing. Chapter 4, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39, the first thing we need to consider. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. What a good verse. Consider in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. And Moses is not reminding this to the Philistines. He's not telling this to the Egyptians. He's telling this to God's people. He's reminding God's people to consider the Lord, that He is God and there is none else. Because we need to be reminded of that. I mean, a lot of, you know, we think, well, we're saved. You know, we understand who God is. And maybe some of us know Him better than others. That's great. But at the same time, God knows us. You know, He knows what's in man. He knows our flesh. And He knows we do a lot of things on our own, make mistakes. And even though we're saved, we have the Spirit of God inside of us, we're born again, Bible-believing Christians, you know what? We still need to be reminded of who God is. We need to be reminded of who He is and that there is none else. And one thing that He is, and we need to consider who He is. Consider who He is. Because remember, when you consider something, you have to come to some kind of decision. Okay, when we don't consider Him, we usually make the wrong decisions. But number one, He's the Creator and Sustainer of life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, I'll read it. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things consist. Let's go back to Acts chapter 17. I know there's a basic, simple stuff, but just by way of remembrance, we don't always need the new stuff. Remember where Paul was in that city, and now I forget what city he was in, but they were always looking to hear some new thing. You know, we have to be reminded of the old things, you know, the basic things. Those are the things we easily forget. Acts chapter 17. Verse 24. Acts chapter 17. Paul is on Mars Hill right now. He's preaching to a bunch of religious, superstitious wise men, okay? So-called wise men, worshiping, they're just their own man-made images, okay? And look what he tells them in verse 24. God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Sometimes we really think God needs us. He wants to use us, but He doesn't really need us, okay? Needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Look at the beginning of verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We got to understand, we can't move. I know this is basic, but we can't breathe. We can't do anything outside without God. There's nothing. We don't have life. We have nothing outside of God. Nothing. You know, and then so many times you take that for granted. But you know what? I praise God. I can wake up even this morning with my wife next to me, with my son getting up, my daughter screaming, and they're all, you know, and they're all healthy. They're able to get up. And they all have breath and life in them. That's a blessing. That's something we need to consider. We need to consider because some of that stuff can be taken away pretty quick. It can be taken away pretty quick. Not just from a punishment from God, but just maybe for just a purpose of His, okay? But we got to continue considering Him. Even though we're Christians, we got to understand what we have. Our whole being, our whole life, our whole breath, everything has to do with Him. We have nothing without Him. Nothing whatsoever. I learned that yesterday. I couldn't even keep up with these young guys. You know? He gave me the strength to try to keep up. They're really mean to me, I tell you. I'm a fragile guy, and they just shoot me up to no end. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over a couple of books to Hebrews chapter 12. Consider the Lord that He is God. Tell you what happens when we stop considering Him. Ready? Hebrews chapter 12. Speaking about Jesus, look at verse 2. Read verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what happens when we don't consider the Lord? We get wearied. Spiritually. Sometimes even physically. We get wearied and faint. And you know what happens when we get wearied and faint? We start to make bad decisions. I mean, you ever stay up too late? I did last night, okay? You ever stay up too late and you just, you know, you kind of say dumb things, you do dumb things, you're kind of like all giddy and, you know. When we're weary and faint, sometimes we're not thinking right. And back in Genesis chapter 25, you remember the story of Esau? He comes in from the field faint. He comes in tired, okay? And his brother Jacob is in the kitchen making up some red pottage, okay? He's in there cooking. Esau comes in from the field. You know what Esau says? He says, I'm faint. And he asks his brother, he says, give me some of your red pottage. And know what his brother says? You remember the story? He says, sell me your birthright, your inheritance for this bowl of pottage, red pottage. And what does he do? He does it. He despises it. Treats his birthright as nothing. Because when we're weary and faint, we'll make bad decisions. We don't consider the Lord, we'll start making some bad decisions like that. To give up something so precious as that for something just material, something small. Last for a few minutes. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 39 again, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Verse 40, thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. The best way to consider Him is to keep your mind stayed on Him. The best way to consider Him is open up His Word and stay in His book. I mean, very simple stuff, right? Read the Bible and pray. Hear it every message. But that's the way. That's the only way we're going to be able to consider Him. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what we need to do. We need to keep our mind on Him and consider Him. And verse 40, it says, it'll be well with thee. Well with thee and with thy children. You know, so many of us, and it's the same in my life, we wonder why we struggle so much and have no victory. No victory over things and sins that so easily beset us. And I'm talking to myself. Things that I would try, you know, you try to get victory over, and how many times you fail, one day it's good, the other day it's not. You know what it all has to do with? How you started the day. How much your mind's on the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself. I know. I start the day off wrong, I can tell you, it's a mess. It's just setting yourself up. Consider Him. Hearken, and be still and consider Him. Maybe there's someone today here who doesn't even know God. Maybe someone here knows of God but doesn't even know who God really is. And you know what? The Lord, He is God. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that's God. And John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, there was a woman, he answered the woman by the well. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If thou only knewest. Some of us in here, maybe there's someone here that knows of God, maybe knows of Jesus Christ, maybe you don't know Him personally. And if you knew Him and asked Him for the gift of eternal life, He would just give it. He would just give it. Another thing we need to consider is who He is that there's no one else that can do it around me. He says there's no one else. Let me read. Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. And as Christians, we say we know that. You know, we know that there's nobody else. We don't serve any other gods. Let's look at Isaiah real quick. Isaiah chapter 31. I read this verse about a couple weeks ago. It was just a blessing. Isaiah chapter 31. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. We have to be reminded that there's none else. We still have to be reminded that there's a God, the Lord, He is God, but we also have to consider and be reminded that there's no one else. There's none else. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Imagine Isaiah had to tell them that. The Egyptians are men and not God. They're putting God on the same level as men. You know what our culture tells us? Even our culture in America. The world tells us of all the things that we need to survive, all the things that we have to do to fit in, all those things contrary to the Bible, contrary to the Word of God, that's exactly what we're doing. We're putting them on the same level. The same exact level. Just like the grasshoppers and God and the giants back there, last time I talked. They put God on the same level. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. And our culture is like that. Our culture kind of teaches us the things that we need, and it's the American culture, American dream, and I understand that. But you know what? The Bible comes sometimes teaches totally contrary to the things that this world says that we need. Consider Him. Consider the Lord that He is God. The Bible says it is better to put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Man will always let us down. Man will always let you down. I'll let you down. You hang out with me enough, I'll let you down. Ask people. You know? Ask people. You hang out with me enough, I'll let you down. Better put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. So the first thing we need to consider, that the Lord, He is God and there is none else. That's number one. Let's look at number two. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Not only do we have to consider the Lord, He is God, and there is none else. Chapter 8, in verse 5. Thou shalt also consider. You there? Chapter 8, verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Look at the next verse. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Another thing we need to keep in mind, another thing we need to consider, is that the Lord chastens us. I don't know if any of you, I've gotten a couple of good whoopings by the Lord. You know, and I knew there's sometimes things happen in our life for God's purpose to get glory and honor out of it. It has nothing to do with what you did directly. But I know some of the things I've done directly, and God had to kind of give me sometimes a literal little push off of a ladder, okay? He had to do some things to give me an actual... And I knew it. I knew it. God will give us a whooping sometimes. Verse 10. Where are we? No, I'm looking at the wrong point. Let's go back to Lamentations, though. Before we get into the chastening of the Lord, let's look at Lamentations. Because a lot of times, right after the book of Jeremiah, right after when we speak about chastening, some people have a false idea of God. And I want to look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, God isn't just up there watching us, waiting for us to mess up so He can just like send a lightning bolt down. You know, sometimes men think that you know, God just waiting, some scary person in the sky. As soon as you do something wrong, He's ready there with the lightning. Like, what's that movie, The Star Wars, The Emperor. He has the little electricity. He shoots it. You know. But anyway, I don't know. But in any case, we get the wrong idea of God sometimes. We think that He's just up there waiting for us to mess up so He can just, you know, start wailing on us. And that's not the case at all. I tell you, take it from me. His long suffering and His grace and His mercies, you know. It's of the Lord's mercies we aren't consumed. That's what we deserve. That's what I deserve, to be consumed. There's no doubt about it. But He's so merciful. And it said back in Deuteronomy, as a man chasteneth his son, does it the same way for the purpose of correction, for the purpose of instruction, to teach us some things, God will chasten us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. But what He wants, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what He wants you to do. In order to chasten you, He wants you to repent. Turn around from that direction and go the other way. Repent of whatever He's chastening you for. And that's one thing we got to consider. Look back. And the blessing is God is a perfect Father. I mean, I fall short. You know, God is a perfect example of a Father. And when He chastens us, it's not in so much anger and wrath. That's easy for us. If anyone's a father here, you can probably agree with me, or a mother. I mean, when the kids start getting on your nerves, man, it's easy to chasten them in our wrath and our anger. You see? But God's a perfect Father. He always does it in love. He always does it in love. He chastens us for the purpose of correction, for instruction and teaching us. And we need to keep that in mind. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you were without chastisement, whereof all you are all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. I find that funny. They chastened us after their own pleasure. You know, you ever get that? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, okay. But He for our profit, that He might be partakers, that we might be made partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, He chastises us for the purpose of teaching. He does it out of love, and we're not supposed to despise it. In other words, we're not supposed to count it as nothing. When it happens, He just wants us to repent. But the thing we need to consider is that He will chasten us. You know, David speaks a lot in the book of Psalms about His mercy enduring forever. And it does. Even when He chastens us, there's still mercy. But David, when he sinned, God chastened him. And he knew it. You read Psalm chapter 15, he's very repentative. And he knew it. Even though His mercy endures forever, we may be getting away with some things. And I may be getting away with some things, but sooner or later, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, He's going to have to chasten us. And that's going to, you know, we don't want it to get to that point. That's why we're supposed to consider it. Consider it, we don't want to get to that point. Eventually, there's a point in a child's life, I mean, I don't know what age it is, maybe 18, well, obviously when they're out of the house, that mom and dad don't need to punish them anymore. They're supposed to be at that point that, okay, you go on with your life, you know the difference between right and wrong, and that's that. But in the beginning, right? I mean, it's every day. Every day without spanking is a bad day, I think, with my son. But without one. But anyway, we need to consider that. We need to consider that he will chasten us, so let's clean up so he doesn't have to chasten us so much. That's pretty simple. But the Bible also says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm not promising that just because you do good now, nothing bad is going to come in our life. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But sometimes, like I said, we bring it on our own selves. We got to consider that. Consider that the Lord will chasten us. Consider the Lord that He is God and there's none else, and we need to consider that He will chasten us. And remember, consider to try to come to some kind of decision. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's look at the next one. So we're supposed to consider the Lord, He is God, there is none else. We consider that the Lord will chasten us. And in chapter 32, verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. You know what we need to consider? We need to consider the past. We need to consider the past. The years of many generations, especially in decisions. We're supposed to consider things that happened in the past to make decisions now in our life. In verse 10, it says, He found him, speaking about God finding Israel, He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye. So you see what we have to consider what the Lord has done for us. Consider the past. When we look at the past, we can consider how many good things the Lord has done. I like Pastor Brother Reagan when he was here the last time, just a week ago, he was speaking about how we always like to boast in the past and all how the times were good then and how many people were getting saved and this and that. And you know what? That's good to look back to, but at the same time, the same stuff can happen now. It's the same God. It's the same God. I like that point. I mean, just last week we celebrated our church anniversary. I mean, that was to remember the faithfulness of God, how He's been to this church. And if you go to certain elders in the church, some people have been here a long time from the beginning, it's a blessing to talk to them. Ask them about how things started. Ask them about the past. And that's one thing we have to consider in decision. We got to consider the past. Consider the past and the generations before. And you know what? It's just a remembrance of God's faithfulness. Sometimes I remember often I've asked even my own parents. They got saved when I was 3 years old, and they were in churches in Chicago, Rochester, different places. And I've often even asked them about years ago, about things that have happened, you know, just the way sometimes the preaching was or this and that. I mean, not so much has changed, but, you know, it's gotten a little bit legacy. And that's just the times, I guess, we're living in. I mean, we could be different, but it's good to look back. It's a blessing to hear the testimonies, you know. And even, I know I bring this up every time I preach, but I was saved in this church about the third row back, February 4th, 1986, at 10 years old. You know, and that's what, to consider the past, and then to go back to that day you were saved. And then to go back to the day you were saved. Because that helps you right now. The same in a relationship. I got to remember the day I met my wife. I remember all the circumstances of it. If I go back and remember all those things, I tell you, it makes things better right now in the present. And keep the sparks going, or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean, that's just normal. You go back to get a blessing now. You look at how good God's been in the past and all the things He's worked out in our lives, and it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. And He can do it again. He can definitely do it again. And even just a blessing, I mean, the Sibuano Bible. I don't know what this has anything to do with, but it kind of popped into my head. I mean, what a blessing it is to have the Word of God in the Sibuano language. I mean, it's kind of just dropped into our lap, First Bible Church. I mean, that's a blessing. I don't even know if I even realize the big deal of it. I mean, this is a big deal. Having the Word of God in the Sibuano language. And imagine, like, right before God's going to come back, we can almost see the finish line. He's dropping in our laps, you know. And what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with it before I come? You know, but I don't know what that had to do with the point, but... It was just a blessing. I think that when future generations look back, if the Lord tarries, future generations, maybe my son's age, look back, I can tell them about these things, of what God did, in the Philippines. Let's go to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. Verse 6. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Hear that? A goodly heritage. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I looked up those lines. I don't know if this is completely right. But they're ropes or cords. And they're tied together. And they use them for measurements. You know? And, I mean, spiritually, if you look at the verse before, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. I mean, that rope reminds those lines... Our spiritually, our inheritance, what has been passed down to us. And it was just a blessing when you think about that rope and the measurement. I mean, it's a set thing. And it's fallen to us, already done. We're enjoying the fruits of other men and women before us. We're enjoying even the founders of this church and just even you look over church history of how God's preserved the Bible believer, how He's preserved the words of God with the blood of men, and look what we have today as a result. We can look back. We have a goodly heritage. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Look over at Psalm 25. You're right there. I'll go over a few pages. Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Ever of old. Loving kindness. I tell you, I love that word because it's two nice words in one word. You know, loving kindness. Loving kindness. And you know what? We asked, you know, why should we look back? Well, we look back to encourage ourselves. We look back at the things God has done and it helps to encourage us where we are now. Just like I said before, we look back for the first day we were saved. Sometimes we got to go back to the cross, go back to the place we were saved, and that helps us during a trial or a tribulation, something we're going through right now. We got to look at the things that God has done, and it encourages us right now. You know, it would be a blessing if future generations, if we could tell them what God has done. Be a blessing if the future generation, and we got to pray for our young people. And we really got to keep them in prayer, just because they don't have bills, a family, and all these responsibilities that us adults have. I tell you, they go through a lot. And this world wants them, and the devil wants them. And we definitely need to keep them in prayer. And I'm not saying that to justify any of them. They know that. I would get them good. That's not to justify it. But it's a blessing that we can show the future generation. Young people are looking for something real. They're looking for something that works practical. You know, to tell a young person to make sure he reads, you know, his Bible through once every 3 months, that's kind of tough. Even once a year. And I encourage them to, yes, no, there's no doubt about it. But what they're looking for is they're looking for something real. Be good if we can be a blessing to our future generations. Amen. Tell them what wonderful things God has done for us. 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them. So what the question is, we got to consider the past. Are we going to bring honor or shame to our heritage? That's the question. Are we going to bring honor or shame to our heritage? Are they going to look back at our generation of what the Lord did here and it's going to be something shameful? Or is it going to be something that we can even look back to now at the beginnings of this church or in church history and it's a blessing? It's a blessing. We don't need to bring shame on our goodly heritage. We need to consider the past. When it comes to decisions, when it comes to what God can do now, consider the past because He's done it. He's done it. And He's still the same God. Let's look at the last thing. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We need to consider the Lord that He is God and there is none else. We need to consider that He chastens us. We need to consider the past. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Not only were they to consider the Lord that He is God, consider that He chastens us, consider the past, but you know what we got to consider also? The future. Specifically the latter end. The latter end. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know what one of the biggest blessings and gifts we have right now is? Time. Time. We're not promised tomorrow. We spend a lot of time, you know, planning for time in the future that we're not even promised. You know, we do. We spend a lot of time. That's fine. I'm all about, you know, planning ahead. That's my motto. Plan ahead so I don't have to do anything now. So, well, not spiritual-wise, but when it comes to like painting something in my house or whatever. But it's always good to plan. But at the same time, we're not promised. We're not promised we're getting home today. We're not promised anything. There's nothing we can boast of. And that's one thing we got to consider. We got to consider our latter end. Time is a gift. That's why Paul tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeeming it. Redeeming it. Trying to buy it back because so much wasted time. And all my life, so much wasted time. And it's all time is all a gift. A gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And I believe that's the latter end. That's one of the big latter ends that we got to consider. One thing we really got to consider is the latter end is that judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I won't spend much time on this. I know I'm hitting about 80 different topics, but... 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." I think really one thing we gotta consider is that one day we will stand before God and give an account. And I'm not going to get into all the details. You can go forever about the judgment seat of Christ. But that's one thing we need to consider. Last and foremost, we need to consider the time when we're going to stand before God and give an account of our service. You know, after you get saved, then your service counts. If you're here and you're trusting on your good works to get you to heaven, heaven is a gift. It's not a reward. It's not something you can earn. "For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It has nothing to do with our own works. But once we're saved, then our works start to count. Then God allows us to use our works to gain rewards. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be a matter of, why did we do what we did? It's a matter of the heart. Not the quantity, because we always want to compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, Paul said, "I finished my course." Each one of us have our own course to take. May not be as glamorous as the other guys. Some of us may have a, you know, how would you like Stephen's course? One message and then he's stoned to death. You see? Didn't matter. But what did that one message do? Apostle Paul. Okay? So, I'm losing my train of thought. I'm getting way off the subject here. Only passing you a rabbit point, so I got to stay with rabbit trails. I got to stay with them. But anyway, we have to follow our own course, our own path. That's what we get rewarded for doing the will of God in our own lives, His specific will for our own lives. And that's one thing we got to consider, is that we're going to stand before Him. And that's scary, man. I don't really look forward to that. I don't know how, that's a hard thing to love His appearing, but then you're going to know the terror of the Lord. You know, that's one of those things, man. How do you balance that out? I want Him to come back, but at the same time, man, I got a lot to answer for when I see Him. But we got to realize it has nothing to do with quantity, but quality. Why we did what we did, our heart attitude. It's easy to do things and our heart's not in it. Very easy, because the heart deceives us. You know, our flesh enjoys being religious. Our flesh loves to be here at church and make a show that we're something. But it has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with our flesh, nothing to do with quantity, but quality. Why we did what we did. We got to consider that. We got to consider also, and a blessing part, consider the things that God has for us. Consider the things that He's prepared for us. It's just unbelievable to think about after this life. I mean, when this thing's all said and done, when Jesus Christ comes back or some of us go sooner, we're all going to be together. One big family reunion in heaven. Now, if we don't get along down here, we're going to get along up there. So we got to get used to it. We better start getting used to it because we're all going to be together. That's one thing we got to consider, man. Because we consider things to make wise decisions. I keep getting off that point. Consider things to make wise decisions. If we, Pastor Mel once said, I don't know if it was Pastor Mel Savaka, I don't know if it was from the pulpit, he told me personally, I forget, but he said, if I really understood the judgment seat of Christ, he said, decisions would be easy to make. If we really understood it, decisions would be very easy to make. But we don't. I don't. I don't really understand it. And that's why sometimes we can get caught up and tangled with the affairs of this life and not please Him. But we got to consider what the Lord's prepared for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And here's the reason why. This is a good verse. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Speaking about Abraham. Verse 13, Noah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If we consider our latter end, it'll be easy to consider and know that we're just pilgrims on this earth, if we're saved. We're just passing through. We love to sing the song, and get crazy, and we love to sing the song, this world's not my home. But you know what? We really get into our hearts and realize it's not our home. There's a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have. There's probably a lot of things, areas in my life, and that Sabuana Bible keeps coming back to me. And you know what? I don't know if it's in my flesh, and it could be my pride in my flesh. I didn't want to share the Sabuana Bible with anybody, actually. I said, you know what? God gave it to us. I know we need people to print it, of course. But you know what? When it comes to actually doing it, it's like this church almost hitting lotto. Like, man, we'll take it and we'll go. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, and maybe that's in my flesh. We do need the help. I know we got to have fruit for other churches, you know, that have fruit to bounce their account. I understand that. But it's just a blessing. Our culture tells us we need these things, but how much more could we be a blessing in this if some of those things we can set aside? We just consider. Consider the Lord, that He is God. Consider that He chastens us. Consider the past, how good God's been to us. And consider our latter end, where we're going. I tell you what, we consider those four things. Decisions will be easy. The victories will be easy. I mean, just set this filthy flesh aside. And it messes everything up, the flesh. And hearken, stand still, and consider. Hearken, stand still, and consider so we can make the right decision. So, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ.